There's got to be a better way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Taxes may be inevitable, but filling out a 1040 every year, maybe that can be avoided. A group of tax experts is out today with recommendations for President Obama's Tax Reform Commission. One idea could make April 15th a lot less stressful. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
How about having the IRS figure out your taxes and send you a form that needs little more than your signature? Bill Gale at the Tax Policy Center says the government already knows your wages, your mortgage interest, your stock dividends.
With all that information, they can calculate a lot of things like your eligibility for certain subsidies or deductions. And it's those side calculations that are often the most difficult for tax filers.
Gale says getting those complicated forms already filled out would not only save taxpayers time and energy. He thinks Americans would be more willing to pay their fair share of taxes if they didn't have to work their way through complex instructions. The tax analyst group is also recommending shifting the tax burden from what we earn to what we spend. The President's Economic Recovery Board has been asked to issue a comprehensive set of reform recommendations by the end of the year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are up about 0.5% this morning. Asian markets gained about 1%. Gold is now above $1,000 an ounce. Wall Street was dark yesterday. The Dow closed Friday at 9,441. Atlanta has been called the capital of the South. It's home to Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, Home Depot. Its population has more than doubled in the last 30 years. But neighboring states say as Atlanta grows, other parts of the South are drying up. Tanya Ott has our story.
For nearly two decades, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama have fought over how much water Atlanta can drain from nearby Lake Lanier to fuel its sprawling metro area. Critics say there may not be enough water downstream to cool power plants in Alabama or protect oyster beds in Florida. It's a tri-state water war and a war of words. Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue says he'll fight to the death in what Alabama Governor Bob Riley calls Atlanta's massive illegal water grab. Charles Krautler, director of the Atlanta Regional Commission, says the other states may just be jealous of Atlanta's economy.
I think that there has been a perception that if there is some mechanism that limits Atlanta's future growth, that might open opportunities for other areas.
But Cindy Lowry of the environmental group Alabama Rivers Alliance says she doesn't know why anyone would be jealous of Atlanta's growth.
It provides a lot of challenges environmentally, economically, and in all sorts of ways.
In July, a federal judge ruled that Atlanta was not authorized to take drinking water from Lake Lanier. If the three states don't come to an agreement, Congress may step in, and that makes this an issue for everyone, not just the South. There are similar reservoirs in 27 other states. In Birmingham, Alabama, I'm Tanya Ott for Marketplace. Marketplace is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
One of the few spots in the world seeing economic growth is the Israeli-occupied West Bank. GDP there is expected to rise 5% this year. It's partly because Israel has removed some checkpoints and let Israeli Arabs come in and shop. From the West Bank city of Nablus, Michael May reports on the possibilities of growth and the limitations.
Posters honoring Palestinian suicide bombers still line the walls of the ancient city of Nablus, but the posters are faded and torn. Now the streets are teeming with traders selling everything from baklava to yo-yos. Tala Nasser hawks flashy T-shirts and jeans. He says business has doubled in the past couple months.
This day is good, yeah. You know, because the checkpoint is open and the people come here every day. Yeah, from Israel, from everywhere, from Palestine, you know. A lot of people, every day, yeah.
Despite the changes, the West Bank still has an unemployment rate of 16%. And some Palestinian businessmen say it's going to take more than opening checkpoints to create a thriving economy.
I don't think it's a big step. It's a step.
Ziad Anabtawi is a major importer and exporter of vegetable oils. That's a huge empty tank. It's meant to hold olive oil. Anabtawi says business is much better than it was a few years ago, but still down 25% from 2000.
If you don't have a relaxed political environment, there is no way you can have a serious growth of the economy. What we witnessed in the past couple of years is a recovering of a very bad situation.
He says it's still hard to find good employees since many of the best and brightest left out of despair. Foreign investment is still virtually non-existent, unless you count aid money. And security at the borders can make it prohibitively expensive to export goods. He says it costs $1,000 just to get a shipping container across the border.
The less security measures, the more peace we have, the more efficient we become.
Efficiency is good, but new markets will have to wait until Israel isn't worried about bombs in the olive oil. Anabtawi says a peace deal is the only thing that will spur real growth. He's banking on the United States to bring the two sides back to the negotiating table this year. In Nablus, I'm Michael May for Marketplace.
And finally, a British psychologist thinks he knows why some songs sell millions and others fall flat. Dr. Nick Troop analyzed the lyrical content of David Bowie songs and found the successful ones contain similar kinds of words. So Troop created what he calls the ultimate Bowie hit single.
A loyal companion, share, relax, creating humans.
If you want a hit record, Troop says, use lots of words about social interaction and positive feelings, and no words about motion, senses, or death. There you go, songwriters. Your work is done. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.